It's a very interesting story that because this deity of Radhakant was being worshipped in the kingdom owned by the king of Kanchi. There's a very interesting story here in this book. And the subtitle I gave in this story is that the street sweeper marries the princess. Every year at Rath Yatra time, the king of Puri, as you must have seen or heard, he comes out and he sweeps the street in front of Jagannath's cart. It used to be the street. Now with a golden-handled broom. Well, he's the Raja, he's the king. He's the king of the entire area, and he becomes a bhangi. Before the Lord, one can do any service, any menial service. It's not, oh, I'm a Brahmin, I can't clean the Lord's toilets. That's bhangi seva. I'm a Brahmin by birth, I will become muchi, I can't do that work. I have to hire a bhangi. For the Lord's pleasure, we can clean the Lord's toilets or the toilets of the Lord's devotees. There's no problem. So the king, he comes and he sweeps the street. He becomes a bhangi for 1 hour on the day of Rath Yatra. But nowadays, the festival has kind of changed a little bit. He comes. We've been here. We've seen 9 Rath Yatras by the mercy of Lord Jagannath. We've attended personally here in Puri. And the king comes on his palanquin. He's about my size. He doesn't look much like a king. The name is Divya Dave Singh or something, the present-day king of Puri. He's about 5'8". He's shorter than me. He's about 5'7 in height. Weighs about 50 kilos. Very slight figure. Hard to imagine he's a king. But he rides on a palanquin, which is open on one side, and they're carrying a white umbrella. That's a symbol of a king, large white umbrella. And he sits there and gives darshan. He's sitting, holding on like very small. The palanquin is quite, it's not ornate, it's very plain. And a little roof over the palanquin on the two sides. And he gives darshan. And the people of Orissa go wild to see him. Because people have this natural inclination to worship someone's, a pious person has a natural inclination to worship someone supreme. So the king represents, it says Naradeva. The king is the deva among the Nara. Nara means human being, and deva means king or lord. Or so we say Naradev. So the supreme lord is that dev, and the Nara is that supreme living entity that the king, whom the king represents. The king represents God. He's supposed to uphold dharma, a religious king. But Duryodhan, the son of Dhritarashtra, he had deviated from the principles of religion. He became selfish. He became greedy. He would not allow the Pandavas to have any domain. So Krishna said he's not qualified to be a king. He's not a Naradeva. He's a Naraka. He's a hellish person. Narak Admi. Narak means a hellish hell. So he's become hellish because he's become selfish. But a godly person, he is broad-minded and he's selfless. He cares for everyone's welfare. So this is the situation. So the king, Purushottam, nowadays during Rath Yatra, walks up on the cart, and they hand him a broom, and right on the cart, in front of the Lord, he sweeps very ceremoniously for about 5 seconds. He just sweeps a little bit of dust off the wooden cart, the wooden chariot, and then he comes down. But he used to sweep the actual street. And so the king will do that every year. So what happened was that There was a kingdom nearby here, it's actually in South India. So this King Purushottam Dev, which he mentioned, you heard the name he mentioned. King Purushottam Dev, who was the king of Purushottam Kshetra, or General Puri, he went on a tour of South India. When he got to South India, he got the news that the king of Kanchi was having a Swayamvara for his daughter, his princess, the daughter. So then the king, somehow he met her, and they developed some liking for each other. You know, the princess and the king of Puri, they developed some liking. So then there was a tentative marriage was proposed with the king of Kanchi, with the king of Puri and the daughter of the king of Kanchi, the princess. So the Purushottam Dev, he returned here. And then the ministers from the king of Kanchi, they went to make investigations about the family, just like you do the same thing. When you're going to make a marriage, then your ministers go out and inspect the family. What kind of house do they have? What kind of income do they have? What is their prestige? What is their position? Isn't it right? This is very quite, from what I understand, it's quite common. Because I make a joke. I have one joke. In America, you marry a girl, but in India, you marry a dynasty. So the girl has to love the husband, and she has a relationship with him, and love the husband's brothers and sisters and have relationships with them, and love the husband's mother and father and have relationships with them, and love the husband's grandmother and grandfather and have relationships with them, and their uncle, cousin. So you marry a dynasty. In America, you see some girl, you like her, she likes you, you get married, bus. You have your own house, and that's it. And if you want to visit your mother, you do. If you don't, you don't. That's it. But here it's like, it's a really complicated situation. It's impossible. It's hard enough to get along with one person. It's very difficult for two people to actually get along in this world in Kali Yuga. But a wife, she has to like walk on a inconceivable tightrope of relationships, where she has to, it's almost practically she can barely keep relationship with her husband, and she has to keep relationships with 50 other people. It's enough to make any wife go crazy. I would never. You couldn't pay me. If someone said you want to be an Indian housewife, I'd say, well, can you give me $500 billion? You give me $500 billion and I may consider it. So now the ministers came from King of Kanchi in South India to investigate the King of Puri. Because I don't know, maybe all he is, doesn't have any prestige. So they came here, and wouldn't you know it, the day that the minister arrived here to investigate the king, his behavior, his parivar and his position and power and influence and opulence and affluence, etc. Then it was the day of Rath Yatra, and Jagannath was on the cart, and Balaram was in the cart, and Subhadra, and the Rath Yatra was about to begin. So the minister was asking, he said, where is the king? I want to see King Purushottam Dev. I went to his house, where they said he's at the site, at the Rath Yatra. So is he sitting on one of these carts here? Is he also riding along with the Lord, Naradeva? The God among men, or the men among gods, or God among men, actually. And then someone said, no, yeah, he's the guy on the road there sweeping the floor. What? Really? That's the king? That's King Purushottam? He's sweeping, and he's a bungee? So then he went closer and he said, sure enough, it's the king of Puri, sweeping the ground like a bungee. Unbelievable. What will my king think of this when I return to Kanchi? So then he didn't even meet the king. When he came, he planned to stay for a week or two to develop relationship and do full investigation. But as soon as he saw that, and he said, wait a minute, this man is not a king, he's a bungee. He's a street sweeper. So he hurried back to South India and he met his king, Kanchi. He said, oh my lord, oh Prabhu, I'm very sorry. But do you actually know the identity of that king that was here, that was courting your daughter, the princess? He's actually a bungee. I saw with my own eyes. And then King Kanchi said, a bungee? What? How is it possible? He said, yes, I saw with my own eyes. There were lakhs and lakhs of people there. And he was sweeping the street and everybody was saying, Jagannath ki jai, Purushottam Dev ki jai. And all the people there, they rather like it that he's a bungee. All the people there, they were cheering him on. Yes, yes. That he was just like a bungee. So are you sure? You sure you want to marry your princess, to your daughter, to this bungee? And then the king said, no, well, we'll cancel the marriage immediately. So then another messenger, a messenger was sent to Puri and told King Purushottam Dev, guess what? The marriage has been cancelled. And then the message was that there's no way that my dynasty, the king of Kanchi, is going to marry a bungee. So when Purushottam Dev heard that, you can imagine how he felt. How did he feel? He felt very angry. So you cancel this proposed marriage and you call me a bungee? Okay, now you see what I'm all about. Get the army. So they mounted their chariots and their horses and they proceeded to southward to the king of Kanchi. So then the spies informed the king of Kanchi, prepare for battle, because you're about to be attacked. So then there was a huge fight between the king of Kanchi and Purushottam Dev. And somehow or other, because the king of Kanchi was a great devotee of Lord Ganesh, Ganapati. He's called Vignavinashan. So there was a heavy fight took place. And who won? Who won the fight?
Jai Jagannath.
Who won the fight, Ganesh or Jagannath? Or King of Kanchi or King of Puri?
King of Puri.
You're wrong. The King of Puri was defeated. But because the King of Kanchi was rather, you know, compassionate, because this was to be his future son-in-law, he did not kill the King of Puri. Fighting means killing, you know.
Yes.
It's a war. Two kings against each other, so it's not like war. Usually in a Kshatriya's fight, you either win or
lose.
Die. There's no lose and go home with your tail between your legs. You either conquer and enjoy the spoils of war, or you're conquered and go to Swarga or wherever. So he spared his life because his daughter, his princess, was very much attached to this quote unquote Bangi. So remember the title of this story? What's the title of this story? The princess marries the Bangi.
The street sweeper marries the
princess. What
was it? Street sweeper marries the princess.
Oh yeah, that's the that's the title. The street sweeper marries the princess. So now you're getting some idea why that title is there? You have some idea? Vague idea? So now King Purushottam comes back to Puri and goes into the Jagannath temple. He says, Jagannath, I've been humiliated, I've been disgraced, I've been shamed. I'm your servant. I'm the Gajapati. I'm supposed to be the king of this Puri, and you're my Ishta, and I'm doing everything for you, and all I wanted to do is pick up a new girlfriend, pick up a new princess, and that which is my right as a king. But you let me down. So what to do? So then in a dream, Jagannath, because generally, historically, the king is a great devotee of Jagannath. And Head Pujari is also a great devotee. So when he wants something done, or he wants to reveal something, he, the Lord, Jagannath, he appears in the swapna of either or both, the King of Puri and the Head Pujari. So that night in a dream, Jagannath came. He said, listen, do you know why you lost the battle? Jagannath asked him, do you know why you lost the battle? So the king had a discussion. And he said, because you did not depend on me before you entered the battle. You became angry when you got the messenger that this king refused your marriage proposal. And out of your anger, you were driven to attack that king and go to war with him. And you didn't think, at one moment, you didn't think, oh, Jagannath, please give me mercy. Please give me your strength. Please give me power. Please give me blessings so I can accomplish this feat. You thought, because of hankar, because of your ego, you ran off there. You ran off there and you fought. So I want to teach you something. Don't try to start some endeavor. War is a big endeavor. It's the most costly endeavor of a country is to go to war, isn't it? When a country's at war, they spend like $1 billion an hour. Very costly endeavor. Much more costly than building schools or roads or any kind of thing. War is a costly thing. So he's telling him, he said, Jagannath saying, you forgot me. So you forgot me, I forget you. So then Jagannath withdrew his power, because all power comes from God. All ability, strength, inspiration comes from God, nowhere else. So you lost. But because you're so attached to that princess, now you attack again. This time, my brother Balaram and I will go and personally, because now you understand, now you're going to pray to me, you're going to surrender unto me and depend on me for your success. So my brother and I, we will go along with you, and we will go ahead of you, and we will fight for you in a battle against King Kanchi. And you'll be successful this time. Ganesh will lose. Because Ganesh was a servant of Jagannath. So then he went back, he started off. But before he got going, the king of Puri with his army, there were two soldiers got on two horses. One got on a black horse and one got on a white horse. The one on the white horse was Balaram. The one on the black horse was Jagannath or Krishna. So they were riding and riding on their horses, their steeds, going to South India to fight the king of Kanchi. But they felt very thirsty. And they saw one old lady with a pot of buttermilk on her head. So then they stop, just like Krishna and Balaram often steal butter and yogurt and in Vrindavan. So wherever you go, you usually do the same pastimes. If you're a thief in Bombay, if you come to Delhi, you'll also be a thief. If you abscond from Bombay because the police are on your tail, then you open a new branch office in Noida and you start stealing in Noida. So the activity is the same. So whether you're in Puri, you'll be a thief, or whether you're in Vrindavan or Gokul, you'll be a thief. And so they stopped and they met this old lady who looked something like this lady, and she had a pot something like this. She had a pot of yogurt on her head, so they said, "Oh, lady, what do you have in the pot?" And she said, "Buttermilk." I said, "Oh, can we have some?" And he said, "Yes, yes, but you have to pay me something." Said, "Yeah, don't worry, don't worry." You know, so they drank the whole pot. They drank the whole pot of yogurt, buttermilk, half Balaram and half and half. And they said, "Oh, this is very good." And it was about 10 liters. And then the lady said, "Hey, where's the money?" He said, "Oh, gee, you know, my money's a little short right now. Money, I don't have so much money. But listen, I'll tell you what. Our king is coming. Our king is coming with the cavalry and the whole platoon of soldiers. They're coming. They're on this way going to battle. And he'll pay you for the buttermilk. I'm sure he can cover it." Yeah, 5 paisa, whatever it is. "Jay, no. Wait a minute, Baba. You know, who do you guys think you are? You know, you just come riding up here on these two horses. I don't know you from Adam, and I don't know, you're just some chores, you know, and you ripped off my buttermilk, and this is how I maintain myself, or sustain, this is how I live every day. I get a few rupees in the market from the buttermilk. Now you drank it all, and you're running away without paying. What kind of deal is this?" They said, "No, look, I'll tell you what. I'll give you my gold ring. Now, when the king comes, you show him this ring, he'll understand who is here, and he'll pay you 5 rupees. Of course, if she was smart, she would have said, forget the king, I'll keep your gold ring. Which obviously worth more than 5 rupees. But she's a simple lady, she's not very smart. So she said, "Oh yeah, I have to," and she didn't know what it was, she wanted to use. So then the army came, about 2-3 hours later. And Jagannath Balaram, they went on to the king of Kanchi to fight. And then, the lady said, "Hey, whoa, stop. So the king stopped and he said, "Listen, two of your cavalry were already here." Cavalry? Horsemen or cavalry? "Two of your horsemen were already here, and they drank all my buttermilk, and they said that you would pay." He said, "What do you mean? My army's behind me. I'm the king, the army comes behind. They don't go ahead anywhere. They can't go without my order. They can't go ahead of me. So what are you talking about?" No. "Two of your soldiers, they said they're in King Purushottam Dev's army. What's your name?" "King Purushottam Dev." "That's you. Give me my 5 rupees. He says, no. Because, you know, kings are tight. He says, "I'm not giving you 5 rupees. How do I know you're making up a story? You drank all the buttermilk yourself. You look kind of kutila anyway. You know, a little bit moti. So maybe you drank it all yourself. But it's only a ruse. You're trying to get some money out of me." He says, no, look. "One of them," and she wrapped it up in her sari, she undid it. She said, one of them, the dark one, he gave me this ring, and he said, "Show this to the king, he'll understand who was here." And when she showed the ring, he said, "Wait a minute, I gave this ring to Lord Jagannath." It was a gold ring with a diamond inside. He said, "I gave this ring, and this is Jagannath's ring. In my dream, he said that he and Balaram would go ahead of us and fight for us. That means Jagannath has already gone ahead of us." "Yeah, here's your 5 rupees. He put it in his pocket. He thought, "My God, my Lord, it's not a dream. It's not some illusion. Because we think dreams are some crazy thing, because mostly they are. And this is real." Like our one Vrindavan friend from Nimbark Sampradaya, he said that in Vrindavan, dreams are a reality. But outside of Vrindavan, reality is a dream. So this is something to think about. Reality means everything you're doing. The movies, the house, the job, the factory. It's all a dream. And reality is when you go to Vrindavan and dream. When you dream in Vrindavan, that's reality. And reality outside of Vrindavan is a dream. That's a very nice statement. So, then the king became very enthused. Jai ho! Became very enthused. Because my Lord is going ahead of me. Krishna and Balaram are going ahead of me. So if they're on your side, Ganesh is nothing. He's nothing. He's only an amsha. He's only an expansion of Krishna. Or expansion of Krishna's expansion, Shiva. So he went there, and then he fought. He fought the king of Kanchi and defeated him. And he took the princess. And he brought her back to Puri. So now you're thinking, oh, the sun's going to set, and they're going to ride off into the sunset, and it's going to be happy ever after, and they live together in the palace. No. King Purushottam returned to Puri with the princess, which I don't remember her name just now. We should try to find her name. It's nice also. And Padmavati, Princess Padmavati, that's her name. That the king of Kanchi's daughter is Princess Padmavati. So Padmavati was brought here to Puri, Purushottam. And Purushottam Dev, he says, see, now because you insulted me, and you and your father said he'll never ever give his daughter to a bungi, so I'm going to marry you to a bungi. So he put her in a room, he told the ministry, he said, feed her, take care of her, and arrange for her marriage to a nice bungi. I mean, kings have big egos, no? He was in love with this girl, this princess. He intended to marry her and share his kingdom, body, life, air, everything with her. But his ego has been insane. Her father, she didn't do, what did she do? She was innocent. But her father insulted his dignity. Honor is something, like Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, dishonor is worse than death. He's telling Arjuna, if you run off with your tail between your legs and take sannyas and don't fight this battle against Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, then this is very dishonorable. Dishonor is worse than death. Right? So this kshatriya honor, he's a kshatriya, Arjuna is a kshatriya, is it right? So he has a sense of honor that Krishna is telling. So the same thing, the king of Puri, Purushottam Dev, was a question of honor. That this king had slighted him by saying, oh, I won't marry my daughter to a bungi. So King Purushottam Dev, he told Princess Padmavati, you stay here, my minister arranged to marry you a bungi. So you imagine how heartbroken she was. Because she was thinking she was going to marry the king. Now the king has come, defeated her father in battle, and taken her hand, and she's so excited. Oh, I'm going to Puri, and soon my marriage will be arranged with the king of Puri, which is my heart's desire. Now I've come to Puri, and then I come to Puri. Now the king puts me under house arrest and tells the minister, arrange for a husband for me, arranges to marry me to a bungi. And I'm a kshatriya, I'm a kshatriya, I'm a queen. A queen marrying a bungi is like a swan marrying a mouse. It doesn't match. So that she's passing her days in great distress, great unhappiness. Can you imagine? When ladies have softer heart, they can imagine emotionally how she would feel. How does she pass her days? Crying. Crying, crying, crying. Oh Bhagavan, oh Ganesh, oh Jagannath. So now the minister, you only get the post of minister if you're very clever, obviously. So he's very clever, so he's thinking, oh yes, I have to make arrangements for a bungi. So now 7 or 8 months went by, almost a year went by. And the minister was looking. And then on one particular day, he was looking everywhere. It was the day of Rath Yatra. So on the day of Rath Yatra, King Purushottam Dev, he takes his position to sweep the road. He becomes a bungi, as you recall. So he's sweeping the road. So then the minister waited for this day. Then the minister went up to the king right while he was sweeping. He whispered in his ear, he said, Maharaj, I found a bungi to marry Princess Padmavati to. And then the king says, well, don't disturb me. Don't disturb me, I'm busy serving Jagannath. You give her to that bungi and good riddance. You give her to, you make arrangements, give her to the bungi and let her be happy. What do I care? But the thing is, you said I should arrange for her to marry a bungi. And I searched everywhere, and the best bungi I could find all over Puri is actually you yourself. And because you're sweeping the road, today you're a bungi. So it seems to me that you're the most fitting bungi for the princess to marry. So then, at that point, the minister had effectively softened the heart of the King Purushottam Dev. And then he smiled and said, all right, make all due arrangements for our marriage. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai! So, when that's the how the story. Now, how Radhakant got here, because they were the those deities, Radhakant, were being worshipped in the kingdom of King of Kanchi. So when the daughter came, then also the king brought the deities also, King Purushottam Dev. And he asked Kashi Mishra, because Kashi Mishra was his head pujari. Mishra means Brahman. Jagannath Mishra is the father of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's name is Nimai Mishra, or Vishwambar. He had different names, Vishwambar Mishra. So Kashi Mishra, obviously, is a Brahmin, so he's qualified to do puja of Radha and Krishna. So when the king came, because he's Kshatriya, he said, please, can you fix some room in your house as a deity room to worship to worship Radhakant? So these deities came from South India. You just took darshan, yes? And so then, because before that time, before the deities came here, you heard in Hindi, maybe you heard. Before that time, this house was known as Kashi Mishra Bhavan, the house of Kashi Mishra. And after the Radhakant deities came, this house became known as Radhakant Mandir. Is that what he said? Yeah, that's what he said. What else he said?
He said that first these deities were in Jagannath Temple.
Yeah, maybe. They could have been.
They ate up all the fruit.
Oh yeah, that's another. Yeah, that's part. That's another. That's also stories here. Yeah, you're right. Actually, before they came here, first they, because they're deities, so Jagannath, you know, Purushottam Dev is going to put them there. I forgot, it's also told. First they were, an altar was made somewhere in the Jagannath temple. And that was, he was intending that they would stay there and be worshipped there. There's so many deities there, Lakshmi and Vimala and Shiva, and all kinds of deities inside the temple there, with their own little temples. So what happened, in the morning when they were making the offering, it's called Balya Bhog. Balya Bhog is the early morning offering after Krishna sleeps at night after Rasa dance. When he wakes up in the morning, he's really hungry. Like after Ekadasi, when you wake up, you're really hungry. You want to eat everything and anything. And they tell you to eat some lemon juice. And you say, what is this? But it's a system, actually. You have to be, if you control your senses, then you'll be healthy. You drink lots of lemon juice or liquid, then you walk and you clear your bowels, then you take a bath, then you eat like whatever you want. If you just stuff your face, then you haven't passed already from yesterday, then you get all junked up. This is a system. Body's a machine, it has to be maintained. This is what I do, and it's very good. So then, so they make the Balya Bhog. So Balya Bhog is all kinds of sweets. In Krishna Balar Mandir, are 7 sweets for the Mangal Arti. It's called Balya Bhog. So Krishna wakes up and he has sweet rice and rasgulla and daily sweet and gulchaman and rasmalai and so many different things. And burfi and sandesh and all kinds of good stuff. And then so every day they would bring this prasad, they would bring this bhog actually, to offer the Jagannath. And they would put the plate down and then they would they would prepare another plate for Radhakant. But as soon as Jagannath's plate was put in front of him, then Radhakant would come in and eat it all. He would eat all the sweets, because as you know, Krishna Vrindavan, he likes sweets too much. He really likes sweets. But Lord Chaitanya likes sabjis. Mother Sachi used to make 21 different types of sabji every day for lunch, from shak, 21 different kinds of spinach. Brahmi shak, and there's methi shak, and palak shak, and this one, that one, so many different kinds. Brahmi is like for the brain, Brahmi. Brahmi Ras. They make a shak. It's a leaf. It's a green leaf. They make a sabji out of that. Especially Brahmin families. It makes a very good brain, good memory. So he was eating all the sweets. And then Jagannath came in a dream and the head pujari, who was Kashi Mishra, and said, listen, get this guy out of here. He's eating all the sweets. So then they moved. Then Kashi Mishra had to make arrangements in his house to take Radhakant to his house. So that's how the deities came here. Now around the corner where the sound of that mridanga is, this is the Gambira, Lord Chaitanya's room where he stayed for the last 18 years of his life, Gambira. And Gambir, the word Gambir means very deep, very confidential, very secret, Gambir. So this is, he had experienced the deepest type of ecstasies and separation from Krishna in the mood of Radhabhav. Actually it's called Mahabhav. Or Madanakya Mahabhav. It's all experienced there, and we'll read something about that. Are there any questions about this discussion so far? Yeah, he also spared him. He defeated him. He didn't kill him. Because this is Leela. Jagannath was there. So Jagannath was fighting, and Balaram was fighting, and the king was fighting. And Ganesh was also there. So how? And he's a devotee, he's a great devotee of Ganesh. So how can the Lord kill a devotee of Ganesh? So it was Jagannath's Leela. So he's not going to kill the king of Kanchi, because he's his devotee. So it was a draw. Or well, not a draw. He was defeated, soundly defeated, but he spared his life.